The Center for Biblical and Theological Education presents Lectio Guided Bible Reading. All guided Bible readings are the property of Seattle Pacific University. For copyright information or to learn more about the Center for Biblical and Theological Education, please visit spu.edu/CBTE. Seattle Pacific University, engaging the culture, changing the world through the power of God's Word.
Week 4. The Day of the Lord, Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. Then afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord's coming. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Joel 2, 28-32. On a summer's day in 2009, Manhattan urbanites in New York City were going about their usual hustle and bustle of starting their day, rushing to the subway stations, hailing cabs, grabbing espresso drinks, and picking up copies of the New York Times to catch the latest headlines and scan the news items of the day. It's a routine practice with a blur of frenetic intensity in downtown Manhattan every day as millions of people move through this cosmopolitan city with little time to stop and consider what is right before their eyes. For months, a group of artists had put together an exact replica of the New York Times, but with stories that they had written that they thought people might be interested in and hoped that someday might come true. They had printed out hundreds of copies of the paper and distributed to unsuspecting New Yorkers. In a video shoot embedded in the Lectio, you can see people's reactions. You see the awareness that begins to dawn on their faces as something that is so common, so predictable, suddenly turns their world upside down. People literally drop their coffee cups, stop in the middle of busy Manhattan streets as cars honk, and just stare in wonder. For a moment, each of them registers a look that would have reflected the thought of many of those who heard the prophet's call. Is this really true? What does this news mean? What is the world becoming? As we continue our look at selections from the prophets, we now turn our attention to a phrase used by many of the prophets throughout the Old Testament, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, Yom Yahweh, is not like any other day. The extreme nature of the coming day of the Lord as it is presented in Scripture evokes images of many end-of-the-world scenes stirred up in movies and other mass media. For the Lord of the hosts has a day, Yom, against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up and high, Isaiah 2, 12. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction of the Almighty. See, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the earth a desolation. Isaiah 13, 6 and 9. See the day, see it comes. Your doom has gone out. A rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Ezekiel 7, 10. And then Joel 2, 1 and 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from old, nor will it be again after them in the ages to come. There are days we celebrate, births, military victories, anniversaries, and graduations. We often set such days aside by putting them on calendars, planning events, and gathering with others for whom such days will be meaningful. Similarly, the use of day, yom in the Hebrew, throughout these passages, as well as others pointing to the day of the Lord, is not only to denote a specific chronological 24-hour period of time, but to speak of a period of time and space that is full of meaning. A space of time defined by an associative term, if you will, due to the subject that inhabits and orchestrates its height, depth, and breadth, who in this case is the Lord God. There is a totality of attention to who God is and the absolute nature of God's call to the people that is characteristic to this phrase by the prophets. On this day, nothing will stand in the way of our seeing, hearing, and experiencing God. While there are numerous accounts throughout the prophetic literature that directly mention the day of the Lord, it remains shrouded in mystery surrounding its specifics. What will it specifically look like? How will we know that the day has indeed arrived? These details can only be speculated. Yet what is certain, seen through all the references to the day of the Lord, is that when it does come in fullness, God will get personally involved. As Old Testament scholar Gerard von Rad put it, quote, "There is, in fact, some peculiar way in which the expectation of the day of the Lord will come. For whenever it occurs in prophecy, the statements culminate in an allusion to Yahweh's coming in person. It has been often asked how this concept originated, and rightly so. For, could we find the answer, we could come much nearer to an understanding of the thing itself." Unquote. If there is a central theme to be drawn from all references to the day of the Lord, it is that the entirety of the day will be inhabited by that which is core to God, and therefore there will be no room left for sin. In the canonical formation of the Old Testament, biblical scholar Bevard Childs sees this emphasis as the eradication of sin so fundamental that it cannot be underscored enough. Quote, "When one attempts to reflect on the prophetic message as a whole, one is struck by the enormous variety of the vocabulary relating to sin. To suggest, for example, that the etymology of the root of sin simply denotes missing the mark does not register adequately how the word actually functions in Scripture. Sin is a willful affront to God, which opens the floodgates of universal rebellion and initiates a cosmological chain of disasters which far exceeds any human intent." Unquote. While Israel is the focus of the message for the prophets and the call to repentance is paramount, it is a statement as much to Israel as it is to be proclaimed through Israel. Other neighbors will be affected on this day, as we hear in Amos 1:13-15, Zephaniah 2:4-15, and Joel 3:11-12, for example. For the far-reaching dawn of the day of the Lord will be total. One of the etymological references to the Hebrew word yom, for day, is that it is a time of heat, akin to sunlight focused through a magnifying glass at high noon on a summer's day. The day of the Lord will dawn bright, both in light and heat, destroying all that stands in the way of God's glory. This is affirmed with laser focus and intensity throughout the prophetic literature, as we shall see in the coming weeks. Yet this day of the Lord is not merely pure destruction, nor is it salvation without cost. Rather, the day of the Lord is a day of redemption through judgment that will purify all that needs sanctification. In this, the prophets are lenses through which this message of light and heat condenses and focuses to laser precision for the sake of God's chosen people. As we noted earlier, what makes the day of the Lord of particular interest for Christians, this very day of the Lord is not merely a day, but a person. This is what is proclaimed by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day of the Lord is now coming into being not merely with light and heat, but with the falling of tongues of fire upon the heads of those gathered. Peter repeats the prophecy of Joel and underscores that the Lord's great and glorious day is now present in our midst, as we hear from Acts 2:17-18, quote, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and daughters they shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy," unquote. Like Manhattan commuters rushing to work, as they have done day after day, this announcement of a new day, a day of the Lord no less, would surely have provoked a call to attention. Yet, where false news can be laughed about, crumpled up, shaken off, and thrown aside, this is something else altogether. As Peter tells them, the day of the Lord is not false news easily dismissed, nor is it merely old news from the prophets of old that we have heard oh so many times and can brush aside as mere nostalgia. No, this news is good news, which in the Greek, euangelion, is the gospel. That it is not merely an event, but a person. And that person is Emmanuel, God with us. Directly following his recitation of Joel's prophecy, Peter goes on to say in verses 22 and 32, quote, "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have said. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourself know, this Jesus is God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." Unquote. The New Testament further testifies that this day of the Lord is now, quote, "the day of our Lord Jesus Christ," as we hear in 1 Corinthians 1:8 and 2 Corinthians 1:14, and the day of Jesus Christ, as we hear in Philippians 1:6. While this day has yet to be fully realized, it is certainly dawning, and the light that has come into the world is burning bright with promise. There is news on the streets, as Peter reminds us, and it is all the news that is fit to print, and then some.